This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli amin ya rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So inshallah, today I would like to quickly share with you all five things that you can do today to get a reward like that of Hajj. And congratulations, you're already doing one of them. Alhamdulillah. And so inshallah, that's what I'm going to talk about today. So we all know the virtues of these blessed days that we're in, right? We've heard countless khutbas and lectures about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these are the best days of the year. The best. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by them when he says, wal fajr wa layalin ashr, and by the dawn and by the 10 nights, and Ibn Kathir and others have said that these are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the way, if you haven't attended one of my lectures, you don't know my rule. Any sister knows what my rule is?
Yes.
What's my rule, auntie?
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
You have to say it loud so that my sister can hear it and remember it.
Yes. So when I say Prophet, we all say
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And say it in a way that the person next to you can hear you, because if they're shy, if they've forgotten, you get the reward. Because you're going to remind them, right? And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Adallu ala al-khayr kafa'ilihi," the one who facilitates someone else to do a good deed gets the reward like that good deed, inshallah. So you can get double the reward. So the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no days in which good deeds done during them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. Allahu Akbar. And then the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, not even jihad fi sabilillah? Because you have to imagine, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam was growing, Islam was still a baby. So they had many battles, right? We know of the many battles. And so the best possible thing that they can think of during that time was what? Which jihad. So they're like, Ya Rasulullah, not even jihad? And he said, not even jihad fi sabilillah, except for a man who leaves his home with everything he possesses. Imagine leaving with everything in your home. Everything. Every piece of clothing. Every piece of furniture. Every piece of silverware and diningware. Everything in your home. And going and not coming back with anything. That's the only thing better than doing good deeds during these days. So inshallah, we're not going to waste these days. You know, subhanAllah, when I went to Hajj, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to go to Hajj, one of the things I regretted most was my time in Mina. Because in Mina, it's very easy to do what? To waste time.
Yes.
Very easy to waste time. But guess what? Allah gave us a chance. Even though we were not called to Allah's house to perform Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget us. He gave us actions and things that we can do, inshallah, to get that great reward. So inshallah, before I talk about the five easy good things that you can do today, and you're already doing one, and I'll share that with you later, to get a reward like Hajj. And let me emphasize here, this does not remove the obligation of Hajj. So you still have to perform Hajj, but you're going to get a great reward. What's the reward of Hajj? Why does everyone want to go to Hajj? What's the reward? Yes, your sins are forgiven. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you come back like the day your mother gave birth to you. Nothing. I've heard some of the scholars say that Hajj is the only thing we know of that actually removes the major sins. The major, major sins. Right? And so why do we all want to go for Hajj? For that, right? Because we all have committed sins. And we've all made mistakes that we wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. But inshallah, by doing these, the ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that by doing these actions, you get a reward like that of Hajj. And all of these ahadith are at least hasan. Okay, so they're accepted ahadith. Okay, but before we get into those five easy good deeds that you can do, there's a prerequisite. And the prerequisite is that I want you to imagine that on the day of judgment, you are so happy. Why are you happy? Because you know, mashallah, you prayed your prayers. You know, mashallah, you fasted Ramadan and you gave charities and you used to do so many extra good deeds like dhikr and Quran and sadaqah, and you would help the needy, and you even did hajj and umrah. And so you're excited to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you go there and you don't see any good deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said that every Monday and Thursday, what's today?
Thursday.
Our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your deeds get collected and they're here. And then on Mondays and Thursdays, your deeds get presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everyone except for two people. And the first one, inshallah, none of us are amongst them. The first one is a person who has shirk, commits shirk with Allah, has a partner with Allah, which alhamdulillah, we're all Muslims. But the second one, the Prophet ﷺ said, is a person who there is in their heart resentment, hatred, anger. There is something in their heart towards another Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, put these two off until they reconcile. I'm not going to accept their deeds until they fix things between them. So a lot of times when we think of Dhul Hijjah, we think of a lot of good deeds, right? We think of fasting, we think of dhikr and Quran and sadaqah. But we don't really think about mending our relationships, right? And you know, one of the easiest... It's not really the easiest, but it requires the least physical effort to go to Jannah is to forgive. Right? We all know that one day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in the masjid and a man walked in that the Sahaba didn't even know who he was. He's not a known person. It wasn't Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali. It wasn't none of them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a man's going to walk in right now and he's from the people of Jannah. This man walked in. Another day, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man's going to walk in and he's from the people of Jannah, and a man walks in, it's the same man. And then a third day, the Prophet ﷺ says, a man's going to walk in and he's a man of Jannah. And the Sahaba were confused. We don't even know this man. And so one of the Sahaba said to him, can I spend 3 days with you? Because back then, and even until today, with the Arab, if you want to stay a guest for them, staying 3 days means nothing. Like it's like an amount of time where you can visit an Arab without them feeling discomfort by you. So he said, can I visit you for 3 days? And so he observed him for 3 days. And after 3 days, he said to him, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. This happened. You're a man of Jannah, but you don't do anything special. I don't see you fasting like we fast, or praying all night like we pray, or doing anything extra. And the man said, you're right, I don't. And then the Sahabi was a little sad and disappointed, and so he started walking away, and then the man said, wait, come back. My deeds are like you saw them, except that before I go to sleep at night, I forgive everyone who has hurt me, and I don't allow there to be any envy or jealousy towards anyone who Allah has favored in this dunya above me. And then the Sahabi said, that's great. That's the great thing that got you Jannah. And so if you're having trouble forgiving someone, I have an article on my website called Heal Yourself with the Power of Forgiveness. Inshallah will help you. But because of time, we're going to go into the deed. So this is the perfect time to mend your relationships. Call, send a text, an email, send a gift in the mail. Alhamdulillah, there's so many things like edible arrangements. There's cookies that you can get delivered. Reach out to family members, especially your family members, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who cuts their ties of kinship will not enter paradise. So if you have someone in your family that unfortunately something happened and you guys are not on good terms, send a text. Just say, hey, assalamu alaikum. I was just thinking about you, making dua for you. Mashallah, it's the blessed 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And inshallah, I pray all is well with you and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your deeds. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said that you're not allowed to have 3 days that pass without saying salams. 3 days. Right? And so, send a gift. Right? Even if they hurt you. You know the tabi'een, when they would find out that someone backbited them or hurt them, they would send them a gift. They would send them expensive dates. And they would say, the same way that you gifted me in the akhirah, I'm going to gift you in the dunya. Right? And so something that can help you find solace when someone hurts you is just remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you justice on the day of judgment. Nothing goes, you know how sometimes we're like, oh, that person got away with it? No. Did they really? Do these angels ever stop writing? We recite Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates to us, tells us what we're going to say on the day of judgment. What some people will say, inshallah, it's not us. What some people will say on the day of judgment. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What is this book? It did not leave out anything, nothing small and nothing big, except that it was recorded precisely, accurately. And so when that person hurt you, don't think that they're getting away with it. No. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you in ways that you can't imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who forgive Allah, their reward is with Allah. Do you know what that means? For someone to not even tell you what the reward is? It's so great, he says, it's just with me. So, the five ways that we, inshallah, can get the reward of Hajj. Number one, a pure and sincere intention. How? Right? I'm going to share with you a hadith that was one of the most beautiful hadith that I've read. And this is a hadith in Tirmidhi. And it's classed as a sound hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said to a sahabi, I'm going to narrate something to you, preserve it. Look at this. There are not many hadith where the Prophet ﷺ actually prefaces and says, I'm going to tell you something, preserve it. But he said it in this one. He said, verily, this world has four kinds of people. The first type of person is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them wealth and knowledge. And with that wealth, because they have the knowledge of Allah, they use the wealth in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they uphold their family ties, and they acknowledge the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. And that person is in the best station, the best position, the highest position. And then he said, and then there's a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with knowledge, but no wealth. And when they see that person with wealth, doing good deeds, donating, going for Hajj and Umrah, you know, taking care of their parents and the needy, and using their wealth in the way of Allah, they say, Ya Allah, if I had wealth, I would do that too. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, they're equal in reward. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, it is narrated in Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, we were coming back from the battle of Tabuk. So the Sahaba left for a battle. They were coming back. And the Prophet ﷺ on their way back said something very interesting. He said, there are people whom we left behind in Medina, but they accompanied us in their spirit, with their hearts, and they passed every valley that we crossed. They were with us. Because they remained back with a valid excuse. And in another version he said, they will share the reward with you. Only Allah knows why we were held back, right? For some of us it's financial. Hajj has become extremely, extremely expensive. For some of us, it's health. For some of us, it's life. We can't leave our jobs. We can't leave our children. Right? Each one of us has an excuse that only Allah knows. But guess what? If you make your intention right now, today, that you wish you can go to Hajj, and that if these things were not stopping you, you would be there right now as the Hajjaj have arrived in Medina, and as they leave to Mecca, and as they go to Mina and Muzdalifa and Arafah, your heart is with them, inshallah you'll get the reward. Number two, Fajr in the masjid until sunrise and praying two rak'at, very famous hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays Fajr in congregation and sits remembering Allah until the sun rises and prays two rak'at will have a reward like that of Hajj and Umrah. And he said, tamma, 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 in full, in full, in full. Imagine, in 1 hour, takes an hour, because they pray Fajr here at 6:15. The sun comes up at 6:57, you wait about 15 minutes, 7:15, in 1 hour you can get the reward of Hajj and Umrah complete, complete, complete by remembering Allah. So what do you do? What do you do when you're sitting and you're waiting for the sun to come up? How do you remember Allah? One of the best forms of dhikr is what? It's Quran. And we all know the hadith that for every letter is 10 good deeds. And he said, I don't say alif, lam, meem is one letter, but alif is a letter, lam is a letter, meem is a letter. And imagine during these days where deeds are multiplied, right? And so another thing that we can do is that when we are reciting the Quran, to truly reflect upon it. So if you don't understand Arabic, while you read the verse, after each verse, read the meaning in your language. Grow a connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. Another form of dhikr that we can make is just dhikr, tasbih and tahleel, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no days that are as great as these days in the sight of Allah. And there's no deeds more beloved to Allah than to say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So increase in them, right? And so when we're making dhikr, let's not be mindful. Let's not multitask, right? Let's make dhikr from our hearts. When we say Subhanallah, think about the awe and the magnificence of Allah, how Allah created everything, right? When we say Alhamdulillah, think of a blessing. Just think about your eyesight. Think of the fact that you have food, that your heart is pumping and beating right now without you doing anything. Right? That your brain is processing without you putting effort. Subhanallah, right? When you say La ilaha illallah, think about the greatness and the oneness of Allah. When you say Allahu Akbar, think about how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That if He wants something, He says be and it is, right? And so be mindful when you are making dhikr. What else can we do? Make dua. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said dua is ibadah. It's the essence of worship. And when you're making dua, have conviction and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will answer you. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily your Lord is shy and generous, that if you were to go like this and ask Him, that He doesn't give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves hearing you talk to Him. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And then pray those two rak'at and congratulate yourself because you just got the reward of Hajj and Umrah complete, complete, complete. So what are you waiting for? Set your alarms so that you wake up for Fajr and so that inshallah, and for the sisters, alhamdulillah, if you have another sister in your house, your daughter, your granddaughter, your daughter-in-law, anyone, you can do that in your house. Right? You don't have to come to the masjid. Many of the scholars said that you can get that reward by doing it in your house. So wake someone up, pray jama'at with them, sit down, make dhikr, don't leave your spot, don't speak, just 1 hour, and pray your two rak'at, and inshallah you'll get that great reward. Number three, this one is super simple, but shaitan always tries to make us forget and get us busy. Dhikr after salah, subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, what's my proof? The poor immigrants came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy people, they've surpassed us. It's not fair. They do like we do. They pray like we pray. They fast like we fast, but they have money, so they give sadaqah. Right? They're surpassing us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, shall I not teach you something with which, if you do it, you can overtake those good deeds? Because they mentioned Hajj and Umrah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, they go on Hajj and Umrah. We can't, we don't have money. He said, should I tell you something that you can do that will make you surpass them? And then And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and none will excel you unless they do what you do. So you'll surpass them, and nobody will surpass you unless they do what you do. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, tell us. And he said, you should recite tasbih, subhanallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahmid, alhamdulillah, 33 times after each salah. Isn't that easy? Takes about 3 to 4 minutes, but what happens after our salah? Shaitan comes, oh my God, you gotta do this. This, your child, your food, you're this, you're that. You get up and then you start doing it, and then what happens most of the time? You don't complete it. Why? Why is Shaitan trying to get you up so quick? Because of this great reward, right? Number four, just praying in the masjid. These ahadith, I swear, subhanAllah, and a lot of you sisters are very lucky. We are very lucky that we live walking distance from the house of Allah. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, if any one of you goes out of his house after performing wudu for the prescribed prayer, their reward is like the one who goes for hajj, wearing their ihram. And whoever leaves their home to go for a supererogatory prayer, meaning you're just going to pray an nafil, you get the reward like that of one who's getting ready for umrah. So the fard prayer in jama'at in the masjid is like hajj, and the extra nafil prayer is like umrah. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever walks to perform an obligatory prayer in congregation is like that of hajj in terms of reward. And whoever walks to perform a voluntary prayer, it's like a voluntary umrah in reward. Allahu Akbar. So encourage your husbands, encourage your sons and your brothers to come to the masjid, and if they can come walking, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wudu at home, come walking, inshaAllah ta'ala. Number five, this is what you're doing. This hadith, I love this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes to the masjid not desiring except to learn or to teach what is good gets the reward of a pilgrim who completed their hajj. Allahu Akbar. Who here came today to learn something? I did. Congratulations, my dear sisters. You got a reward of a hajji who completed their hajj. Do you know on hajj, a lot of times people don't complete their hajj. Why? Especially sisters. What happens to us? Unfortunately. Right? So sometimes we actually don't complete our hajj. Or sometimes people do something wrong at their hajj and their hajj isn't complete. This hadith is saying you're going to get a complete hajj. And when the Prophet ﷺ says something, he always uses the right words, right? And Allah says, لا ينطق عن الهوى. He does not speak from his desires. Everything that he says is revelation or reveal. So if those are five easy good deeds that you can do, I'm going to share with you five super fast, super easy good deeds that you can do, inshallah, during these days to maximize your reward. Salat al-duha, forgotten sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said that every joint in your body requires a sadaqah. And do you know how you can give that sadaqah for your whole body? Is to pray 2 rak'at of duha. Duha is 30 minutes after sun rises until 30 minutes before dhuhr. You could pray any time in between, make your wudu, and just 2 rak'at. Now, if you make them 4, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says, O son of Adam, perform 4 rak'at for me in the beginning of the day, duha prayer, and it will suffice you the latter part of it. Make it. The time frame is so long. Make it a priority to pray these rak'at. Takes 4 minutes. 4 rak'at take 4 minutes. Pray them, inshallah ta'ala. Pray them before you leave for work. Pray them, 30 minutes before dhuhr. Find the time and pray them, inshallah ta'ala. Number 7, easy good deed. Build yourself a house in Jannah. How? By praying your nawafil. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays 12 rak'at nafil in a day gets a home built for them in Jannah. How do you pray them? 2 before Fajr, 2 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, 2 after Isha. Those are 12. Inshallah, you get a palace in Jannah. Number 8, fast. Right? Fasting is one of the greatest acts of worship that we can do, because Allah says fasting is for me and I will reward for it in a way that I don't reward for anything else, right? Fasting, especially the day of Arafah, which is next Thursday, make sure you mark your calendars. Do you fast? Because the Prophet said, whoever fasts, they ought to fast.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Okay, quickly, quickly. Sisters, Arafah is next Thursday. Make your intention to fast from now so that even if you can't, if something comes up and you can't, you get the reward. Because remember what number one was? Intentions, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts the day of Arafah, the previous year's sins forgiven and the coming year's sins forgiven. 2 years. Allahu Akbar. Allah is so generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to enter Jannah, right? These easy things that we can do. That can get us these great rewards. So let's make our intentions, inshallah, and let's share this by telling and encouraging our family members. Maybe you know that a lot of people in your family, they don't like to fast. Maybe you know what you can do? Make it a da'wat, right? A dinner party for iftar. So that will kind of encourage them to fast, right? And so encourage even your children to fast. Alhamdulillah. Fasting these days has not been that difficult. Alhamdulillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us some clouds. It hasn't been as hot as it was in Ramadan. The days are shorter. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to fast. And may we witness the day of Arafah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Number 9, give sadaqah, charity. And we all know the virtues of sadaqah, right? But let's make sure every day during the day, because we said these are the best days. Ramadan is the best nights. These are the best days. Make sure during the days you're giving sadaqah. And there's so many forms of sadaqah, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, sadaqah is due upon every joint of a person every day. Being just between two people is sadaqah. Helping someone with their animal is sadaqah. Lifting someone's luggage is sadaqah, right? A kind word is sadaqah. Every step that you take towards the masjid is sadaqah. Removing harmful things from the road is sadaqah. So be creative in the way that you give your charity and your sadaqah, right? Smiling is sadaqah, right? How many times do we enter the masjid and we don't smile at each other? May Allah forgive us. Smile. Smile at me right now, inshallah. You'll give me sadaqah and I'll give you sadaqah back. And so there are many, many forms of sadaqah. a cool way to get sadaqah is to find someone who's fasting and feeding them, because you get all their reward, inshallah. And the best sadaqah is to sacrifice an animal on the day of Eid. That's the best sadaqah during these days. Number 10, help someone in need. This is my favorite deed of all. Do you want to know why? Who here has been to Medina? Alhamdulillah. Isn't Medina one of the most beautiful places ever? Like, you don't want to leave. Nobody wants to leave Medina. Nobody gets tired of Medina, right? What's the virtues of Medina? There are many. What's the virtues of praying in the Masjid of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's times 1,000. So everything that you do is multiplied by 1,000, at least, right? Can any one of us leave their life, leave their children, leave everything, travel to Medina and stay in the Prophet ﷺ's masjid for 1 month in i'tikaf, not talking about dunya, only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. First of all, they don't give you a visa for a month, right? Second of all, they don't even allow sisters to sleep in the masjid for a month. Third of all, who can do that? It's something very difficult, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, for you to help your Muslim brother or sister in their need is better than making i'tikaf in my masjid for a month. Help someone in need. There are so many people in need. There are so many. There are so many every day on my Facebook. A sister needs this. A sister needs help with this. A brother needs this. A child needs this. They need backpacks for school. There's so many people in need. Help someone in need, inshallah ta'ala. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our good deeds heavy on our scales. Forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way that He gathered us here, gather us with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And if you guys would like, on my website, I've created a checklist with all the things and all the 10 days so you can progress and check. Because when you have goals, what happens? You're more likely to do them. I've been doing it, and yesterday I realized that one of the things that I have on my checklist I didn't do, and so I put a red mark around it. So then, inshallah, today I'm extra careful to do that good deed. And so if you'd like, I have a few copies here, but you could go on my website, just dunyashaib.com, under resources. There's a lot of different articles, there's a lot of different resources. This is called the Dhul Hijjah tracker. So you can download it and you can print it and you give it to your friends and family. And then all of these ahadith that I talked about today are on my website under Deen with Dunya. It's called Hajj from Home. So you could print it out and you can give it to any of your family members, or they can watch the live stream, inshallah. And jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you happiness in this life and the next. And by the way, about fasting, one thing I wanted to mention that I forgot because I'm rushing. Don't just fast from food and water. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of a person's fasting if they do not leave lying and bad speech. Allah does not need them to leave food and water. So let's fast with our hearts. Let's fast with our eyes. Let's not look at haram. Let's not listen to haram. Let's not speak haram. Let's fast real fast. Right, once two women came to the Prophet ﷺ and their stomach was hurting, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, you ate meat, and they said, we're fasting, and he told them, throw up, make yourself throw up. And when they threw up, there's pieces of meat, and the Prophet ﷺ said that you backbited your sister, and that's their meat. So sisters, be careful, because the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us, especially us, we have a lot of free time and we talk on the phone a lot, and it's very easy for us to fall in this. Don't do it. Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment, people will come with mountains of good deeds and they'll be bankrupt. They'll have nothing left. Why? Because they backbited this person. They hurt that person. All their good deeds become gone. So don't put your good deeds in a purse that has a hole in it, where you're stuffing it with good deeds, but guess what? Because you're saying things, they're falling. Right? Let's really, really, really take care of our good deeds. And really, that's why the Sahaba, they would put rocks in their mouths. SubhanAllah. We don't have to do that. Every time you feel like saying something negative, say something positive. Say tasbihah. If you can't think of something positive to say, say subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, because I know it's difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. And jazakumullah khairan wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alayhi sallallahu alayhi sallam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Two announcements, inshallah. Ignaz doing mass mailing to our neighbors about Eid. So in his